Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk on Fan for Racing Radio Network. And it's a kickoff show for the 2017 season, our first show of this year. So we've got a really nice lineup for all of our listeners tonight. And we're going to start with Sal Segala, our co-host, who should be joining me momentarily. And he and I are going to kind of talk about some of the more recent news that's been happening in NASCAR. And during the first half hour, at 9 o'clock, though, we have Lee Montgomery will be joining us. A lot of you remember Lee Montgomery's been on our show before. He was the public relations person for drivers in the NHRA, including Erica Enders and Morgan Lucas, but that's not who. Richie Crampton is the other driver that he covered, and now he's with John Force Racing. And joining me now is our co-host Sal Segala. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, just going over our agenda for tonight. And mentioning Lee Montgomery, and that he's going to be on with us at the 9 o'clock half hour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about our first guest tonight, right?
Right, right. I didn't know if you wanted to add anything there.
No, you know what? Okay. You basically covered everything. I mean, yeah, once we get to him, you know, we'll, you know, he'll have a lot. I know Lee will have a lot to say. A lot of stuff has happened during the off season. Actually started in the beginning, middle of the season, but yeah, he's with John Force Racing now.
Right, there were a lot of changes at John Force Racing, and Lee Montgomery is part of a new group of people coming into that organization. So, like you say, we'll talk about that during our 9 o'clock half hour. At 9:30, We have another guest coming on. His name is Andy Boyer. If you watch Supercross, that name is going to be familiar to you because he's an announcer on Race Day Live for Supercross. And it's going to be fun talking to him. He's also the brother of Clint Boyer. Anything that you want to add there, Sal?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of exciting. You know, I had a chance to talk with not this past weekend, but the first race at at Anaheim, and you know, he's you know, I you know, I listen to him because he does all the pre-race stuff, so it's mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty exciting. You know, it's a lot to cover, you know, and you know, it's just neat, you know, to hear, the announcers and stuff, you know, talk about, you know, stuff that goes on, you know, before the race actually starts, and then, you know, of course, that he comes in.
Absolutely. And it's going to be fun talking to him because this is just the the third year. He's starting his third year in that doing the announcing and being on TV for that, something he'd never done before. And he was a fast study and has done very well with it. So looking forward to chatting with him during our 9:30 half hour tonight. And then we normally have our NASCAR Hot Topic sound off at 10 o'clock. We're not going to do that during the month of January, but I'm hoping we can resume our NASCAR Hot Topic sound off come February. So stay tuned for more details on that. And also, we're working on whether or not we'll do a Thursday night NASCAR preview show in February as well, looking for people to be co-hosts. So if you're interested in doing that, just contact me and let me know that you have an interest, and I'll be happy to talk with you about that. But with that, Sal, let's go ahead and get started talking about some of the news in NASCAR. last week, of course, well, even before last week, the big news was the new name for the Sprint Cup Series. Sprint left NASCAR at the end of last season. NASCAR has been working feverishly to find a new title sponsor, and Monster Energy has stepped up to the plate, Sal.
Yeah, they. You know what? This was something that's been in the works, you know, since before the end of the 2016 season.
Since Sprint Cup NASCAR announced they were leaving.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you kind of seen it coming. Because you started looking at how much Monster is getting involved, not only with NASCAR, but with all motorsports. You know, I think it's going to be exciting. Supposedly, I talked to one of the reps from Monster, and they have a lot. They have a lot coming in. Dealing with the fans. Bringing new things to NASCAR. So it's going to be exciting. With the new name and what I'm going to like the most out of all this is Sprint used to block the internet waves. So you couldn't use your phone if you were in a Sprint subscriber. You didn't have no internet. You didn't have on your phone.
Well, cell service.
Yeah, there you go. You really didn't have much of anything, especially on Sunday. You're basically blocked. So, if you're down on the track, for example, being a photographer, you couldn't text the guy on the other side of the track or even text home or someone sitting in the stands, and you couldn't get no internet service or nothing. So I think that's a good thing. I think all the way around. The series that they do sponsor, it's amazing the stuff that they bring, as far as, things, away from the track, into the fan zone, to keep the fans entertained, the different,
Absolutely.
It's really neat. And I seen it because, of course, Supercross, which we'll talk to Andy later, is sponsored by Monster. And they've been sponsored by Monster, for some time now. And they've always just upped the ante is what they did. So it's going to be exciting for the fans. I think this is a step, to bring them back.
Well, to bring them into NASCAR. But, yeah, I really think it is a good move. I'm a Sprint customer, so I was happy with Sprint being the title sponsor for NASCAR because if my battery ran low, I could go over to the Sprint Zone and they would replace my battery for me. I was never without service there. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So
That's
Sprint
awesome.
Did a lot for their Sprint customers. Yeah, it really was awesome. And they had a lot of things that they would do for fans and for people at the track. So they sponsored the NASCAR Mobile and a lot of different things to make it more enjoyable for fans to enjoy the race, including the fan vision that they had there. I think Sprint had something to do with supporting that as well. But I think Monster is probably going to have a lot of things that they're going to be doing for fans too, to the point that you're making, Sal. They've been in the motorsports for a while, and it makes sense for them to come into NASCAR now in their top series as a sponsor. And I think we're going to see a lot of great things from Monster Energy for fans too as they continue to come into the sport.
Yeah, and I know there's a few questions. People are asking, what's going to happen with Kurt Busch? Is he still going to be sponsored by Monster? And actually, Monster also bought out NOS. So Monster owns both Monster and they own NOS, which, of course, we know that NOS sponsors Kyle Busch. Yeah, and a lot of other teams, a few other teams, they're like a little sponsor on them, but it's neat, to see, them get involved and to bring something different, something new, and basically, like you said, try to bring in, a whole different,
group of audience, actually. They'll bring in a younger
group
of audience. Right.
Yeah.
I think they'll bring in younger people to the sport, which is important to NASCAR and the future of NASCAR. So I think it's a great move. I think it's going to be a very up-to-date image for NASCAR, and I see nothing but good things coming out of the partnership. And we'll definitely look forward to seeing, you know, how it all plays out as the season begins in February. Now, last week, Sal, the big news last week was the news kind of leaked early that Carl Edwards was going to be leaving the sport. People were wondering why he'd be leaving the sport. And then he made an announcement last week at Joe Gibbs Racing, giving three reasons why he was leaving NASCAR. And when all was said and done, in a lot of ways it made sense, but we're going to miss him as part of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
Yeah, you know, I had a laugh when they first, you know, brought it out, you know, because, of course, you know, the boards lit up, you know,
mm-hmm.
on, oh, you know, what was the reason he was leaving, you know, and everybody kind of threw in their little, you know, their little ideas, you know, or their little, what they feel it was, you know, and nobody really, there was a couple guys that kind of hit on some of it, you know, and some of it
mm-hmm.
was, you know, was the health issue. You know, I mean, you know, you got to remember that his wife is a doctor, and I
doctor.
Think,
she's a doctor. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Agreeing.
She's a doctor. And I think, and I think she's a neurologist, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had said. I don't know how true that is, but you know, with everything that Dale Earnhardt Jr. has gone through, you know, and you know, as young as he is, you know, they're pretty well set. You know, I mean, you know, why go out and push it? You know,
well, and yeah,
I mean,
he gave three good reasons. The first reason he gave was that he's satisfied with his career. He's very happy
yeah.
with the 20 years that he spent in NASCAR. He wants to spend more time with the people that he loves. And then, of course, what you brought up, his health. Right now, he feels like he's very healthy. He wants to stay that way, and he's decided that he's going to leave the NASCAR racing. It was a bit of a shocker, though, I think, for a lot of people, and it was human reaction, I think, for everybody to you know, speculate on why he would make this decision. He's only 37 years old, and you know, he has a lot of fans for the time that he's been in NASCAR. But I think what he said made a lot of sense. It was very articulate, and he took a few questions from people. He's not running for office or anything like that, he told everybody. But it is going to be interesting to see what Carl Edwards does do beyond NASCAR. I know people will be keeping an eye on that very closely.
And actually, you know, the funny thing is, the one that really made, that I think made the most sense out of what everybody said, was Carl taking this year off, you know, to work with Dodge, you know, because supposedly Dodge might be coming back in 2018. So I kind of think that was the, to me, that was the most sensible one, you know, was he was leaving NASCAR to work with Dodge for a year, and then he was going to come back, you know, in 2018, you know, and somehow be involved with them. That was a really good one, but of course, that's not what it was. You know, he came right out and said, if I ever come back to racing, it's going to be with Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs, yeah. And even Dale Jr., he tweeted a tweet saying something to the effect that he thinks under the right circumstances, he thinks that Carl Edwards could be lured back. But I don't know. I don't think so. Since he brought up the health issue, kind of am thinking that he won't be lured back. But, you know, time will tell the rest of that story.
You know, and on the same note, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, why did Dale Jr. come back? I mean, sure, he's got unfinished business, you know, with the, you know, with not having to win a championship yet, you know, and I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of different things going on. But, you know, I mean, you almost got to think that he's at the point, you know, that one more concussion, you know, and how bad is it going to damage him? You know,
yeah,
you and I kind of talked about that, Sal, about
you know, why did he come back? And I do think that if he has another serious incident, it worries me for him from a health perspective. So I'm hoping that he doesn't have any more incidents, but it's in his blood, and, you know, he wants to race as long as he can race, and he doesn't feel like he's finished yet. So, you know, I can appreciate that and respect that, but I am worried for his health should he have another major incident on the track.
Exactly, exactly.
So we'll have to wait and see what happens there with Dale Jr. Now, also announced is that NASCAR is looking at making some rule changes this year. One of the rules changes that they've made is tires. They'll have fewer sets of tires that they can use across all three series. And they've already talked about tracks with one fewer set of tires allowed for next season include Daytona 500 only, Phoenix both races, Auto Club, Martinsville both races, Bristol both races, Kansas both races, Kentucky and Sonoma. Kentucky and Chicagoland. Tracks with an additional set of tires include both Talladega races, Sonoma, the July Daytona race, New Hampshire both races, Watkins Glen, Darlington, and it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with the different tire, because it puts it into the hands of the drivers and the crew chief to manage those tires in with those conditions of fewer tires and in some cases more tires.
That and then what else it's going to add to is it's going to add like a whole different pit strategy, you know, because now you know, I mean before when we had, if you remember, it was always a fuel issue, you know, the tires, you know, would last as long as the fuel, you know, and then we went through the fuel thing, you know, to where, you know, now it became, a mileage thing, you know, and then when Goodyear had the, you know, that one season, you know, where they just, you know, they couldn't get the tire compound right, you know, it became a tire issue again. And I think now with the, with this past season, you know, we've seen a lot of fuel mileage races, you know, a lot of teams, you know, were gambling. And I think now with the tires issue, you know, just like they do with what they do with the Camping World Truck Series, you know, I think it's going to add a whole new twist, and it's really going to, the crew chiefs are really going to earn their money this season, because, you know, sure, you're going to come in, you know, are you going to take the tires, or, you know, are you just going to take the fuel? You're going to take two, you know, I mean, a lot of the tracks this year, you know, they're taking, you know, they come in, you know, take the two lefts, and then they come and take the two rights, and they come and take all four. But I think it's going to add a whole new twist, and I think it's going to make it for some really exciting racing.
I think so too. Now, some other changes, Sal, that NASCAR is looking at here: rear spoiler height. For the Cup Series, the rear spoiler height has been adjusted from 3.5 inches to 2.35 inches, so they're reducing that. They ran tests during Michigan and Kentucky at 2.5 inches, which was slightly higher than where they landed at 2.35. The roof hatch for both the Cup and the Xfinity Series, the roof hatch is now mandatory at both Daytona and Talladega, but it's still optional at all the other tracks. Restrictor plates at Daytona and Talladega, the size of the holes in the restrictor plates used at Daytona and Talladega will now be 7/8 of an inch from 57/64 of an inch. Lastly, NASCAR is now requiring Cup and Xfinity Series teams to use toe board energy absorbing material at the two restrictor plate tracks to strengthen the driver foot box. That's in response to the Xfinity Series crash at Daytona that sidelined Kyle Busch for 11 races. So they're trying to make it safer for the drivers at those tracks where they're driving at high, high speeds. So your thoughts about those changes, though?
You know what, I think they're all good. You know what, I mean, you know, the NASCAR, you know, once again, you know, they're looking at safety, which you have to keep looking at safety. You know, you can't, you know, you can't go back, you know, and you know what, and take steps back. You got to keep taking steps forward, you know, and you know, like they said, you know, it's what happened with Kyle Busch. I mean, I don't care what you would have done to that car. There's no way. I don't think he would have survived not breaking his you know, his legs the way he did. But you know what, you know, there's ways, you know, to help ease the, I don't know how you'd say it, I guess, ease the pain, ease the, you know, the, you know, the,
to make it safer,
the impact. Yeah. To ease the impact, because I mean, when you're coming at 200, 180, 200 miles an hour, and then you hit that grass, you just slide the way he did, you know, and then you hit the way he hit. I mean, back 15, 20 years ago, he might have not survived it. I mean, but because of the Hans device and the way they're building the cars nowadays, the safer barriers and all that added in, you know, it's made it a lot safer. And I mean, and we've seen it, you know, that, you know, the car was able to come back, you know, from that wreck, you know, and
right,
you know, finish out the season.
Right, and some of these changes are not just for the safety perspective of it. Some obviously are, but some of them are to improve the racing product. And I think last year they made great strides in improving the racing product for fans to watch. We saw a lot of close finishes. We saw a lot of people racing for that win at the end, and it made it a lot more interesting to watch racing. And I feel bad for the fans that left racing with the Car of Tomorrow, because the racing has gotten so much better over the last year. And you know, we always enter the new season in hopes that it's even going to be better in the coming season, and this is no exception. But, you know, if you haven't watched NASCAR racing in a while, I'd really encourage you to keep an eye on it for the 2017 season, because I think NASCAR has been working really, really hard to make changes that will make it more interesting. Now, that brings me to another kind of controversial thought. NASCAR has, there's been some scuttlebutt that NASCAR is also looking at shortening the races or having heat races to make it a little more interesting for fans. What are your thoughts about NASCAR shortening the races, Sal? And then we'll
You know what, I've always said, you know, I've always been one, you know, said, you know, they need to shorten them. I mean, that's why the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series racing is so much more better, because, you know what, you don't have the drivers sitting around for, you know, 150, 200 laps, just logging time. You know what, they're getting set up, you know, for the win. And that's why when you go to your local short track, you know, you got 40, 50, 50 lap races. That's why the racing there is so good, because they have to race from the time they drop the green flag, you know, until the checkered, with the exception, you know, of the longer ones, you know, like the Snowball Derby, the All-American 400, you know, where they're 300-400 lap races, you know, and they have a chance, to use strategy, you know, and try to win the race. But I mean, I think the races need to be a lot shorter. I just think that the attention span is lost after a couple hours, especially when there's no passing and they're just basically playing follow the leader. I think that's when you really start to lose a lot of fans.
Well, I understand why NASCAR is looking at that, and I understand, you know, the younger generation that's coming into this sport is the video generation, where they're used to fast action and things moving quickly, and they're not so much into the endurance part of the sport. But I think that's one of the things that has made the top series of NASCAR stand out from all the other series, is the fact that it's not just racing the race. It was the endurance, being able to outlast the others in that race as well. So there was an endurance part that I think that is probably going to slip away as a part of the sport if they move in that direction. The heat races, I'm kind of interested in hearing your thoughts about that, too, because there's pros and cons when it comes to that, too.
Yeah, the pros with the heat races, you know, is, you know, that's basically, you know, how racing, you know, how it started. You know what, they, you know, they had heat races. You know, you go to local short tracks, they have heat races. You know,
mm-hmm.
but the downfall to the heat races, if you get caught up in a wreck or something, you know what, it can
yep.
very easily end your night. You know, I mean, you know, that's it. You know, you're done. You know, I mean, or you know, sure, you can get the car back together, but it's not the same as it was, you know, when before you wrecked it. And that's one of the biggest downfalls of it, you know, is, you know, it's, you know, you're at another race. Plus the fact, you know, that these drivers, they're already, I mean, just the weekend in itself is grueling, you know, with the, you know, practices, the qualifying, you know, the race itself, you know, then you want to throw in, you know, another heat race on top. Sure, the fans are going to love it because that's more racing, you know, that's what they're paying for. They're paying to see some racing. But I think on a driver's standpoint, I don't think that they really could be too happy about having races.
Okay, and then midweek races. There's some talk about possibly having more midweek races as part of that whole heat race option. NASCAR has not said that at this point. It's something that's on the table for discussion right now, and time will tell if we're moving in that direction. It'll be interesting to see if it does come to pass. Now, Christopher Bell from NASCAR won the Chili Bowl, Sal. That was pretty big deal because he's the first driver since 1994 to win the Chili Bowl as an Oklahoma native. The driver who did it before him was Andy Hillenburg.
Yeah, he got the win, you know, and you know, he went out there and he proved he was the best for that night, you know, but Christopher Bell's always been a good dirt driver anyways, you know, I mean, hands down, you know, it's kind of
mm-hmm.
sad because had he not, I'm just going to put it real lightly. He had a shot at winning the Snowball Derby. He would have been the first driver in history to win the Snowball Derby and come back and win the Chili Bowl. But
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't have been in the same year because the Snowball Derby was in December. But
right.
at least coming into this year in December, he has a chance, you know, to, you know, if he decides, if he opts, you know, to race it, you know, I just hope he doesn't race for Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Well,
they already jacked him twice.
Time will tell the story there. We'll have to kind of wait and see what happens, but, let's get into our next guest because Lee Montgomery's been on our show before. We usually have a pretty good time with him. You guys like to talk food as well as the sport of racing. But he made a big change during the off season this year, and you mentioned that those changes actually started in mid-season. Sarah Adams, PR rep there, left for other things, and it put John Force Racing into a situation where they were looking for new people.
Yeah, they did. But then also I think the big thing was Elon Werner leaving John Force
mm-hmm.
Racing to pursue, you know, other interests, you know, that were closer to home. I talked to Elon, you know, and he said, you know, it was, you know, the season was grueling. He loved his job. I mean, he loved it more than anything else. But, you know, like he said, he goes, you know, the you know, it was grueling. He wanted to spend more time at home with his family. And then the fact that Geiger Motorsports had lost Morgan Lucas Racing because Morgan Lucas shut down the shop and they're not racing next season. So that basically took – you know, Morgan Lucas and Richie Crampton, you know, out of the mix, you know, so I'm sure Rob Geiger, you know, went in, you know, he had to downsize, you know, there was no other thing he could have done. He had to downsize, you know, his crew and, with losing those drivers, you know, including, I think, Eric Anders Stevens was another one that went.
Right, and so you know, big changes within the NHRA as a result of some of those moves. But I'll tell you what, for John Force Racing, I don't think they could have got a better person to step into Elin Warner's shoes, and that is Lee Montgomery, our next guest. Lee, we're happy to have you back again, and congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words. I really appreciate it. It's a wonderful opportunity that I'm still pinching myself over, to be honest.
Okay. Well, talk a little bit about, we've kind of set it up here a little bit as far as some of the changes that were taking place within the sport that kind of led to this happening for you. But tell us from your perspective, what brought you to John Force Racing?
Well, Elin, as I think Sal was just mentioning, was looking to cut back his travel, and he was fortunate to find another job pretty quickly that allowed him to do that. He's in Dallas, so he's got two teenage kids at home that he desperately wants to spend more time with, and he was able to do that, and the forces certainly wished him well, for sure, and Elin was also kind enough that when he kind of heard about my situation and what was going on, basically recommended me and a couple other people, I think, to the forces. And I sat down with John in Las Vegas last year and just initially started talking, and we kept on talking. And then in December, came up to Indy to sit down with John and Robert Hyde again, and they offered me the job. And it didn't take very long for me to say yes. So that's pretty much it. The timing worked out great, great for me and great for Elin. And like I said, I couldn't be happier.
Well, I think it's fantastic. And I know Sal's here, our co-host, and I know he's ready to ask you a few questions as well.
Yep, hit me, Sal.
Yeah, you know, Lee, congratulations. I mean, you know, if there's any, and I know we talked off show, but if there's any one person that they could have gotten to, to come in and John Force Racing, you know, and I'm not even going to use the analogy filling somebody's shoes, because each one of you has your own unique style of how you handle your drivers, you know. So it's basically coming in, you know, to the John Force Racing fold, which everybody knows John Force Racing is one of the most energetic and most exciting teams out there. And with your presence, you know, you fit as well for one thing because of your energy, your excitement. And another thing is because of the, as active as you are on social media. And I know talking with John personally, he is huge, finally getting big on social media. And I mean, he could have gotten a better person, you know, to be his rep than you, because I mean, you're huge on social media.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and yeah, like you mentioned, and like I told them, nobody can replace Elin, and I'm not even going to try. Elin was probably one of the best PR people I'd ever met, and anybody who ever met him, anybody in media, knows the same thing. He was just a great guy, excellent at his job, was really just fantastic for the forces, for all the forces, and they really respected him and loved him and everything like that. And I'm not Elin Warner. I used to joke, I told some people, I'll give you a Ferris Bueller reference. Elin was Ferris Bueller, but I was Ferris's friend, and his name now just escapes me right outside my head. Cameron. Elin is Ferris Bueller, and I'm Cameron. That's the two of us personality-wise, how that fits in. But, you know, everybody at JFR kind of understands that. They've certainly welcomed me with open arms and have been fantastic in the way they've treated me, from John on down to Robert, Kelly Antonelli, the director of marketing, Steve Cole, vice president of sales. All the drivers have been great. And so, like I said, it's been fantastic so far.
But you know what, Lee? But now it's time for a whole new era with John Force Racing. As everybody knows, last week, you know, he brought Jimmy Prock back, you know, which was huge, because when Prock and Force split up, it seemed like like proc would never be allowed within 1,000 miles of any of Forson's cars shop, or and it seemed like John wouldn't even talk to him. But you know, now we got to change into the guard. You know, with John's crew chief, we got to change into the guard with the whole PR department. You know, and now you know, like I said, you know, he couldn't have picked a better PR rep, you know, to represent, you know, the whole John Force Racing organization. So, you know, you kind of have your hands full now, because now instead of just dealing with Richie Crampton or Morgan Lucas or the two of them and Erica, now you're dealing with, you know, with four drivers, which you're dealing with Brittany, Courtney, John, and Robert.
Yeah, well, you know, there were times at some races in the past where we had as many as 11 to 12 drivers on site at one time. So to go from 12 to 4, I'm thinking my job's a whole lot easier now. I kid, because yeah, there, you know, we're going to be a lot more. I'm probably going to be a lot more busy than I imagined. We have hired another guy. His name's Michael Harker, who has kind of helped out a little bit. He's starting in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be another tremendous addition to JFR. And he and I working together with Kelly and everybody there is going to be a really fantastic situation. And he's already jumped in and helped, and I've already kind of started. I've been on the job for a couple of weeks now, and hopefully the transition will be smooth from Elon to us, and like I've told people, it takes at least two people to do Elon's job, so we're going to do our best.
So when you get the initial call, what's going through your mind when John Force Racing calls and said, okay, Lee, you know what, here's the keys to our PR department, have at it.
Well, it didn't exactly work quite that way. Maybe a little bit. I think that just shows the professionalism of that team, how they have just immediately respected me and what I could possibly bring to the team. And they kind of understood that I've been through the NHRA wars a few years, and I kind of know a little bit the lay of the land, how things work, and stuff like that. So, you know, that's been an easy part of this, and it's just, in some ways, it's just sliding over to another team, in some regard, but still is quite a responsibility. There's a lot of a lot more, perhaps, eyes on me specifically, I guess, as far as what am I going to do and how am I going to help the team. But there is also, on that same token, quite a bit of support at JFR. From Kelly and Steve, as I mentioned, Ashley Forcehood, who's works through the video side of things for Force out in California. So there's lots of things that we can get done this year that we've already started working on, and lots of exciting things going on that I wish I could tell you about. A couple in particular that I really can't share just yet, but man, there's stuff that's going to be really cool this year.
Awesome. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Sharon.
Okay. Well, it certainly sounds exciting, and fans need to really make sure that they're following you, Lee, at Lee_Montgomery. Is that right?
That's me, yep. And in our John Force Twitter, JFR Racing, you can find that'll be me probably most of the time doing that. And I'll try to have a little fun this year with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and such. And I know I've already seen there's lots of fans. A lot of fans love John Force. I mean, that goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of built. There's a pretty big fan base built in to social media, and I want to keep that growing and continuing to have some fun. And hopefully, we'll have a lot of interactions with fans this year, and maybe some giveaways and some special things that we've talked about. And so stay tuned to all the social media. There's going to be some fun stuff happening there too.
Okay. Now, I know you did a great job with increasing the social media followers for Erica Ender-Stevens when
yeah.
you were working with her. And,
yeah,
you know, for...
That was all me. That had nothing to do with her winning championships. No, I'm kidding.
but also for Richie Crampton.
I started with Erica, she had just a little bit more over, you know, a little bit more than 3,000 followers on Twitter, and I'm not sure how many on Facebook, but you know, when I left, she had close to 35,000 followers on Twitter, which is a pretty big number in HRA, and there's actually not that many racers in HRA who have more than her. So I was pretty proud of that, and Richie's following grew pretty good. I wish beyond anything he could still be driving the sport, and I think one day he probably will get back behind the wheel. But two great people, loved working with him, still friends with him. So I had lunch with Richie last week. That's one of the other benefits about being here in Indy and working in the Brownsburg area. There's still a lot of NHRA people that I only saw on the weekend, and now I can see them as often as I want. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The weather stinks.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. The weather stinks up in Indianapolis. And there's no street lights. What's up with that, Indianapolis? I don't understand. There's no street lights anywhere.
Well, it's very unique in Indianapolis, that's for sure. But now, as you're making this transition now into John Force Racing, I know you've talked about you're not looking to step into the shoes of Elon Werner. But what are your goals going into John Force Racing? What is it that you want to accomplish there?
I want to maintain the level. First of all, maintain the level of respect and professionalism that Elon brought to the table. That's first and foremost. And I don't want anybody to go get halfway through the year and go, man, I really wish Elon hadn't left. I don't want anybody saying that. And I just want to, you know, I want to maintain that. And I want to grow the social media part of it. I want to grow, you know, that's going to be a big focus of mine and ours this week. And we want to come up with lots of ideas to promote each of our drivers and our sponsors and maintain those relationships with the sponsors and try to grow those as well, because that, as we know, that's what drives this sport. And we have some pretty active sponsors, fortunate JFR and Peak Antifreeze and Motor Oil and Advanced Auto Parts, Triple R Auto Club of Southern California, Monster Energy, all great partners with us. And I want to, you know, make sure that they know how important they are to us and grow their fan base, and hopefully they can continue on for a long time with John Force.
Absolutely. Now, also, John Force has their own video production group.
Is that,
I know you've done some video with Richie Crampton, but is that going to be kind of a different perspective for you?
Yeah, that's absolutely a different perspective. That's kind of what I mentioned earlier, that Ashley Force Hood is in charge of that out in California, and they do a fantastic job with things, and I was always jealous of Elon, and he had that kind of in his back pocket, and Ashley and I haven't met in person, but we've emailed a lot, and we've kicked around various ideas and things we want to do, and she definitely wants to grow that part of it too for social media and stuff like that, so that's an important component of what we're trying to do, and hopefully you'll see a lot of fun stuff like that this year from Ashley and through our social media outlets. But yeah, that's a big thing. I'm going to stay out of that as much as possible and let the professionals handle that part of it.
Okay. With that, Sal, I'm going to pass the baton back to you.
All right, Lee. Oh,
Sal,
what's it
going to
be?
When are we going to Pink's, man?
You know what? As soon as you get here, but you know what? There's a lot of good stuff around your Belinda too. Trust me. There's a rib place over there off of Catella in Anaheim. That's probably 10-15 minutes from John's shop over there. I'll tell you, man, some of the best ribs in California. We're gonna have to hit that spot.
I need to get over there. That's another one of my goals. And I'm talking to some friends and back home, finding some good barbecue in Indianapolis. And I haven't started looking yet. I'm a little afraid to, but I know they're not going to have the Eastern North Carolina barbecue style that I like so much, but maybe we'll find something that's edible.
Well, there's always a 3-hour drive up to San Luis Obispo where they don't use sauce. It's all rub. There's some good spots up there too.
Yep.
But anyways, my question was, when you were with Geiger, you're kind of under Rob's, blanket per se, everything kind of had to go through Rob, So basically it went from Lucas, to Rob and then to you. What's it going to be like now that you're working directly with the team?
That's probably going to be a little bit different, maybe. I don't know. Probably not that much. I certainly had a lot of freedom with Rob, and he supported pretty much everything I did. I would imagine that with JFR being a race team and the resources they have, I'm certainly not going to be able to, and I wouldn't want to, just come up with an idea and go do it myself. That never works anyway in any organization. So, but there is definitely a team aspect to JFR that's pretty cool. That there's the more minds you can get together, the more brain power that you can get together and come up with things and ideas and make them better and improve on them and cut things off and grow things. So that part of it might be a little bit different. But I kind of welcome that, because the more eyes you can have on any one project, it's the better off, as far as I see it. As long as we don't get down to, everybody has to look at something. But no, it's not been that way so far. It's been, smart people. I work with a lot of smart people, and that can only help all of us. That's for sure.
And the neat thing with John himself, is that he has the same philosophy as Rob Geiger had. When it comes to media, give them what they want. Don't tell them no. Don't ever put them to the side. Make sure the media and the fans, are well fed or are well taken care of. And I think that's another place where you're going to fit in real easy with John Force, is because John, his number one goal is his fans and his media. He says, my team comes last. He goes, without the media and the fans, he goes, nobody has a job.
Yep. John's one of those guys, and I think everybody I've dealt with here at JFR is somebody who gets it. And I know you, Sal, you know what that means. There are some drivers out there who don't get it, who don't understand they need to deal with media and with fans, and that's what, that's the only reason they're here. Without fans and without media, without sponsors, none of us would be racing. I mean, maybe they would, but it wouldn't be nearly as big as it is now, and people wouldn't want to come watch it. So John gets it. He understands that, he has to make the media happy. He has to make fans happy and obviously has to make sponsors happy. So that's been great. One of the first things that I remember asking Brittany and Courtney both, hey, is there anything, is there anything you don't want to do? Is there anything, what are your limits? And they both looked at me like I had three heads, like, what are you talking about? That's not how it works over here. So I'm like, oh, well, good. That's I've worked with drivers in the past who, I'm not going to name any names, but let's just say that sometimes it was like pulling teeth. I work with other drivers who are just like that. They were fantastic. They said yes as much as they could. Robert, John, I mean, all four of them have been just fantastic. And they've all said, yes, whatever you need, just, let us know and we'll do it. So, yeah, that's a good thing.
And that's so true, because I've gone back there sometimes. I've always made myself kind of at home. When it comes to race weekend, and I've got back there and I had some questions for Courtney, and she'll stop what she's doing, if she has 30 or 40 seconds a minute, and Brittany, John, Robert, the whole team, they'll give me that time. No problem. What do you need? Especially John, Sal, what do you need? Talk to me, Of course, Elon was always right there in the middle, but even when Elon wasn't there, he was at the media center doing something else. They always made themselves very approachable, and I think that's one of the reasons why the fans, why they take the liking to the Forces, because I know you've seen on race weekend who's got the most fans around the pit area, around the cars, and it's John Force Racing.
Yep, and that starts with John and his attitude. He's very much like, and I know a lot of fans will know, and I know my family will know when I say this, Richard Petty was the same way. You know, John's a lot like Richard in that regard, and he, you know, making the fans happy, signing autographs all day if he needed to. So that starts with John, and it rolls on down to Courtney and Brittany, and certainly Robert is very good at that as well. So, yeah, absolutely. They're, like I said, they've been fantastic to deal with so far. Brittany and I, she was in the shop last week, and I noticed she had a phone case, and so we kind of bonded over our pets. She had a cat, and I've got two cats, so we kind of bonded over that. Brittany was the one I didn't really know. I kind of knew the least coming into this, so that was good to talk about cats like that. So she's a cat person. I'm a cat person, so we're going to get along fine.
Well, Mia, I want to congratulate you on everything that's going on this year. You know, wish you the best of luck. We'll see you at the Winter Nationals. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Thanks, Sal. And we'll go somewhere good to eat.
All right.
You guys always know the best food spots. Now, speaking of Winter Nationals, though, that's coming up February 9th through the 12th out at Pomona. So you're really gearing up because that's just a couple of weeks away now.
Yeah, it's when I started a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like that was a little bit further off. But man, we go to testing. All four of the teams are going to test in Phoenix in a couple of weeks. Actually, we go out there February 1st and test that weekend, and then Pomona is the week after that. So. The guys in the shop are all, man, they're all ready to go. They've been working all winter. Obviously, there's been some changes as far as crew chiefs and some crew guys moving around. So they're all anxious to get out on the track and kind of prove what they've been working on and show what they've been working on and show they can go fast and compete with the best. So I know they're really chomping at the bit, and we're ready to go. We about button up that John Force Racing media guide. That's been not a surprise, but something I knew I had to work on, and that's been fun to tackle that project and continue that. That's another thing that Elon started, and that we're definitely going to try to continue that in the future. So, just ready to get rolling here. I know everybody's excited about going in, and I'm definitely excited to see some warmer weather. I haven't seen the sun for a couple weeks up here, so that's been a little weird. Especially
yeah,
when there's no street lights out and the weather's bad, so I come home to my apartment, I turn all the lights
coming.
On.
Better
yes,
days
they
are coming. Go ahead.
Now I said, come to U.S. Nationals, we'll be complaining about the warm weather, so I guess I should keep my mouth shut as far as that goes.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. NHRA had a lot of events on Fox Sports last year. That's going to continue this year. And I think that's bringing you more fans, too, into the sport. And it's going to be fun to watch.
Yep, there's still going to be quite a few races that are going to show live this year. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think it's about the same amount as they had last year. And then everything else will be on. I think they're going to show several on Fox Network live, like they did last year. Then a few more on Fox Sports 1, and then everything else will also be on Fox Sports 1 again. And we're all excited to see about that. You know, we know the TV ratings last year were a pretty big deal. They increased a lot over previous years, and we certainly hope that continues to grow. So, everybody out there, if you love drag racing, well, turn on Fox Sports 1 on the weekend and make sure those numbers keep going up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, Lee, it's always a pleasure to have you come on the show. We always look forward to chatting with you. And you guys will have to tell me later what foods you came up with out there in California when you get out there. You have to keep me up to date on the food.
That's definitely a big part of what we do. That's for sure. Finding a good place to eat, and there's lots of them all over this country.
Okay, well, good luck to you in the coming weeks and for the 2017 season. And you know, we'll probably be tapping you on the shoulder throughout the season. So we'll look forward to chatting with you again.
Yep, absolutely. Anything you guys need, just holler.
Okay, thank you, and good luck to you now.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. All right, that was Lee Montgomery. He is he's doing public relations now for John Force Racing, and him along with his partner Michael Harker are joining John Force Racing's public relations staff this season, and it's going to be pretty exciting to see what happens. Make sure you follow him at Lee_Montgomery. And also at John Force Racing, which is JFR Racing. You want to give them a follow on Twitter. And they are on Facebook as well. So, Sal, I think there's a lot to look forward to this season with that organization.
Oh, yeah, there is. John's made a lot of off-season changes, you know, and, you know, one of them, like I said, you know, is bringing Leon, you know, and you know, and then with the with Michael Harker coming on too, you know, it's going to be really good. And then especially now with Jimmy Prock back as the as John's crew chief, John's all gung ho, ready to grab another championship this year.
Absolutely, they're always gung ho to grab a championship.
Yeah,
I think every year so. Fans definitely have a lot to look forward to there. John Force is not showing any signs of slowing down with his organization. So,
I think the best quote he said, he goes, "I'm bringing the band back together." I like the Blues Brothers. Remember, putting the band back together. And now with Jimmy Prock back, it's going to be one heck of an exciting season.
It sure is. So fans definitely need to mark their calendars for those events, starting with February 9th. Check your local listings so that you can catch those races. And if you're at the track, go to the track. If you're by the track, go to the track. Sal, I want to talk a little bit about our next guest. A couple of years ago, he decided that he wanted to be an announcer in Supercross, and he did what he needed to do to make that happen. Before that, he's been racing himself on motorcycles since he was just a young guy, 4 years old. He comes from a racing family. Andy Boyer is the brother of Clint Boyer, who is racing with Stuart Haas Racing this year in the NASCAR Cup Series. So it should be an interesting conversation there.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was neat to see him. He was the one that handled the post race press conference, you know, after Supercross was over. You know, he's the one, you know, that emceed the whole thing. Did a really awesome job, you know what, and kept everybody involved, and he even brought Bob Pockrass down to cover the race to tweet and write about the race. So, I mean, that in itself was pretty neat. I have a picture of the two of them together. I haven't posted it yet, but I have a picture of Bob and Andy together down on the field when Bob was down there taking pictures and doing all that stuff.
Yeah. I saw the post about he was happy that Bob Pockrass was there and covering the finale and everything. So we'll definitely look forward to talking with him he's about to embark now upon his third season as an announcer with Supercross and Race Day Live. So I'm really interested in talking to him about how he got started, because when he left racing, he decided he wanted to do something different, and announcing was it. And although he had a journalism and public relations background, he'd never been on TV before. So how he talked them into letting him host this Race Day Live with Supercross, I think, is a pretty fascinating story. And definitely looking forward to talking to him about that. I'm not sure what happened here. I had both Sal and Here's Sal. I'll bring him back into the queue. Go ahead.
It's Andy. He called me because Sean gave him the wrong number. So I had to text him the right number. So go ahead and do the intro.
Oh, okay. Okay, so why don't you go ahead and do your introduction, Sal, and bring him. He's in the queue, ready to go.
Yep. Okay. Our next guest is works with Feld Entertainment, which most of you know. They're the company that owns the Supercross. And actually, we have Andy Boyer who hosts Race Day Live at each event. So if you get there early and you hear the Race Day Live over the intercom, interaction with the fans and the drivers and all that, that's his job there with Feld, with Monster Energy Supercross. It was really neat to get a chance to meet him, and I was so excited to get him on the show because I really wanted, to help Feld, get Supercross out there even more. But not only that, but to talk about what goes on behind the scenes behind Supercross, because Supercross, as we know, has gone from something small to this big old production. And I mean, it's amazing how many fans they get in there. So with that, we want to welcome Andy to the show. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thank you for having me on. Good evening. Good evening.
So Andy, kind of give us a little bit of background, what Andy Boyer does for Monster Energy's Supercross show.
Well, first off, I work for an amazing team in the digital marketing department, Sam Gomez and Christy Cannon and Brandon Williams. That's my primary 9-to-5 job during the week. And on Saturday, we go racing with Race Day Live for Mr. Michael Prince and the television broadcast team and myself and Jim Hawley and Miss Teresa Hayward, the producer. We get to call qualifying in practice, and we get to have celebrity guests on and talk about the racing. We have racers on the show. We have Jeremy McGrath for Anaheim 1, which is, for me, I grew up racing, and he was, he was the guy. He was the coolest, and to have him as a co-host on the show to start our season for 2017 was really special. And last weekend in San Diego, we had Ricky Carmichael, and I grew up racing with Ricky as a competitor, and watched him grow up to be the greatest of all time, and to have him as guest number two was awesome. We're off to a great start. I've had a ton of viewers and got to meet fine folks like you at Anaheim 1, and we're just pretty excited. And to tell you the truth, it's only Monday, but I'm ready to get to Anaheim this weekend for round three.
So how does a racer go from being a race car racer into the booth? Most racers they stay with the team, they'll become a crew chief, or something, they'll be involved with the team. But I mean, to see somebody go from there to the booth.
Well, I look at it like in all the other sports. Look at the NFL. You have Troy Aikman in the booth, making the call for the championships game this weekend. And NASCAR, you have Jeff Burton in the booth and Jeff Gordon in the booth and Jeff Emig in the booth at Monster Energy Supercross and Ricky Carmichael up there. Previously, David Bailey's been in the booth for Monster Energy Supercross. And I think it's a natural progression. I mean, in our element, I can say with no ego, I know more than most people about Supercross and motocross. I've been blessed to be around great people and companies that I've worked for and good friends. But it's my life's passion. Since I was 4 years old, I've been on a dirt bike. I'm still on a dirt bike today. And I think as far as getting in the booth and being a former racer, it was something I always looked forward to doing. Initially, the print stuff, I loved to write. It was just something I picked up while working at Fox Racing doing race reports. I wrote their first ever race report for their website on foxracing.com clear back in 1999. And Mr. Jeff Fox read it and was like, this is good. This will help company morale. He's like, you should do this more often. And that got me going into Racer X Illustrated. My good friend Davey Coombs brought me on, and I was able to – he kind of took me under his wing and showed me the journalistic roots. And Jason Weigand, I became friends with him, and he's one of the best journalists in the business. And I've just – like I say, I think I consider myself the luckiest fan in the sport and just been blessed to be around wonderful people and been lucky enough to learn from them.
And it's funny, you know when you bring up, like, especially Ricky Carmichael, one of the old school drivers – racers, you know, and back, you know, when Ricky was racing, you know, Supercross was just barely, you know, starting to grab some steam, you know, unlike what it is today, you know, with the big production, you know, they put out there, you know, with the fireworks and, you know, the yeah. awesome driver introductions, you know, the tracks they set up, you know, the, especially with the fan interaction with the racers as compared to like when I first started going, you know, years ago. I mean, it has just exploded.
Well, I attribute that to the wonderful company I work for, Feld Entertainment. When they took over Supercross, Monster Energy Supercross, it took on its own personality. They really made it something that's, I mean, that's what actually brought me back into the sport. I actually took a couple years away and did a FedEx career, which I really enjoyed. And it was just something different. I'd been, you know, inundated with dirt bikes since I was 4 years old. I stepped away for a couple years, did FedEx, and I started going back to Supercross races, like at the Georgia Dome, and seeing what Feld had done to create the show and the element and elevate the racers to the to what they deserve to be, the world-class athletes that they are. And the show that you see with the pyrotechnics and the opening ceremonies and the wonderful things that Todd Gendreau and Dave Prater and Shay Murphy and Tim Fend and the operations team do, it's you know, it's a spectacle. I've been able to see the Daytona 500, the Brickyard 400, and I'll hold Anaheim 1 opening ceremonies energy up to anything in professional sports.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with you. And we're blessed out here in California to be able to have them start their season out here in Anaheim, you know, as compared to starting it back east. And I mean, and with that, we are blessed. And with that, I'm also going to turn it over to Sharon to the show host.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Doing well. Monday night here in Tampa, and I'm glad to be back in the warmth. It was a little cold, if you can believe it, in San Diego over the weekend. I hope you're well.
Okay, I'm doing well. We've had a lot of rain here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But for winter, that's a good thing in the Midwest.
Yeah.
You've mentioned that you, you know, you've been racing on dirt motorcycles and dirt bikes since you were 4 years old, and you come from a racing family. And last year, you had a chance with the Supercross to kind of pull in kind of a crossover with some of the NASCAR drivers. You brought them
yes.
into the sport. Are you going to be doing that again?
You know, I think we might have seen the first and last ever NASCAR Hole Shot Challenge thanks to my courageous little brother. But I hope not. Actually, I just say that just joking around. But unfortunately, the schedules didn't line up this year. NASCAR pushed theirs back a week. So Atlanta falls on Daytona 500. Again, so pivotal, so important, and so special for NASCAR that it's going to be hard to glean the synergy between the two sports like we did last year. But, you know, I mean, some things, you know, one of my favorite quotes is yesterday's home runs don't win today's game. But on the other hand, you kind of need to let the things that did happen be a positive and just kind of let it be cool. And we were very blessed how that worked out. Unfortunately, you know, fortunately, Clint wasn't hurt, but we made SportsCenter and Danica Patrick, Jimmy Johnson, Kurt Busch, Jeff Gordon, Ty Dillon, Ricky Stenhouse, and Greg Biffle. They all had a great time. That's what I got out of it, was seeing those guys do something different. But it's part of their DNA. They're entertainers. They're performers. You know, they and you put those guys in front of a crowd and give them a motor, they're going to put on a show. And they did. And once again, I just give respect to the Feld Entertainment operations staff for letting me do that. And it was amazing. It was something I'll never forget, and I'm very proud of.
Well, I thought it was a great crossover, you know, bringing NASCAR fans over to Supercross and Supercross fans, hopefully, you know, with some recognition with some of the NASCAR drivers. It would be great, like you say, it sometimes it's good to let it stand alone and be what it is.
Yeah.
But if an opportunity were to come up again, I think it would be great to see it happening. If not in that format, then some type of format, I think it would be great.
I agree. And I'm not giving up. There'll be more synergy between the two sports. Ricky Stenhouse and Danica are going to be coming to our Phoenix round of Monster Energy Supercross, and we're going to incorporate them into our live event. And hopefully I can have Ricky or Danica or both of them on Race Day Live. And, you know, it's, you know, with Monster Energy being the title sponsor in NASCAR now, I think the natural combination of the two great sports is just going to grow and be something very, very enjoyable for all race fans.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, Monster Energy, Sal and I were talking about it earlier. They're so big in motorsports. For them to come to NASCAR, I think, is a really, really great thing, especially for the next generation of fans.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. You know, I think that the evolution and the progression of Monster Energy Supercross was hand-in-hand with the marketing efforts of Monster Energy. And, you know, they just re-upped with us till 2021. And I think that's a testament to our positive relationship and the accomplishments we've made in a short amount of time. But there's more to come. We've changed our format this year. We have, timed races. The main event in San Diego was 24 laps, and what happened in those last four laps of the main event was amazing. Ryan Dungey and Ken Roczen were just battling tooth and nail, and that wouldn't have happened with the old format. And just with the organization and the way things are going now, I see more changes in the future and more positive racing and a better product. I think it's just going to be awesome.
Now you have a background in journalism and you know, public relations. But when you came to TV, that still had to be a little nerve-wracking because usually those guys are kind of behind the scenes and not up front and center on TV.
Oh, yeah. Certainly nerve-wracking. Absolutely. I was able to do some interviews with Endemic Media before the first show this year, and they asked me what the first show was like, and it's hard to explain the nervous energy. On one hand, you're very happy and proud, but you have a tremendous responsibility. I have a tremendous responsibility to do a good job for the people that love this sport. They're just like me that lived this sport since they were young and live and breathe it every day. You have to do a good job. You must deliver the message and show up. Just you got to do the deal. And it's not, it's not, I have to do it. I get to do it. It's an opportunity and a true blessing. The thing I've learned over the last 2 years is not to be nervous, just to have fun. You know, it's a cool thing to talk about dirt bikes. There's a lot more important things in the world going on, and to be able to put a headset on and be surrounded by incredible people that work hard and talk about dirt bikes is the funnest thing I've ever done.
Well, you're getting ready to go into your third season with Supercross this year, and I think that's pretty fantastic. And with that, I'm going to pass it on back to Sal.
Thank you. You know, Andy, it's kind of ironic, that they have, at the position that you have with Feld right now, being an ex-rider, how hard was it to make that, to sit down and say, you know what, Andy's going to go into the booth instead of continue racing?
I had some injuries and stuff towards the end of my career, and the writing was on the wall. It wasn't going to be the next Jeremy McGrath, and I wanted to continue with the sport that I love. So, it was great. It wasn't something easy. I had to go for it. It didn't land in my lap. I sent out, emails to all my contacts and old friends and just things kind of had a certain way of falling into place. And it's like I say, I've said it over and over again. It's a blessing and super grateful for the privilege.
And another neat thing with the way Feld has put everything together, with getting Monster, involved in it. Of course, Monsters has just exploded, and I think a lot of what Monster's seen with Supercross, I think that's kind of one of the reasons that they decided to take the challenge with NASCAR, to get something that's basically, bone dry. I mean, Sprint really didn't do much for NASCAR, and now you're getting Monster Energy involved. I think they seen what happened with Supercross and how it exploded, once they became part of it. And they figured, hey, look, you know, let's get into, let's try with NASCAR. I mean, we're successful with Supercross, and it shows, you know, in the way they extend your contract.
Indeed, and I think the landscape of NASCAR has changed over the years, just in the time that I've been able to go full on as a fan when my brother got involved in 2004. You know, I've seen the landscape change personally. The demographics changed, the fans have changed. And just in general, I think, you know, the world's a different place. The demographic's younger for racing right now, and Monster does a great job of capturing that demographic. And I think all racing fans are fans of all racing. And the more people that go to a NASCAR event and you stand along the fence and feel the wind push your hair back when those 900 horsepower cars come by, Peloton at Daytona, here in the draft, it's something that stays with you, and it's special. And I think, you know, the Monster Energy folks went to a few NASCAR races and was like, hey, this is amazing. This is one of America's best pastimes. And, you know, I mean, I can't speak for the NASCAR governing body, but I'm sure they're happy to have a great sponsor like Monster on board. And I certainly see nothing but positives. The marketing side is going to be exciting to see what they do in 2017. Monster's marketing is proof positive, and NASCAR's marketing is proof positive. They have a great product. They have, you know, new talent. You know, Chase Elliott and all the new changing of the guard and stuff are coming up. Ty Dillon, Ryan Blaney. It's an exciting time. And, you know, I like watching the truck series and some of the changes they've implemented into their racing format, like the 20-minute yellow flag. I think that's awesome. You know, when they get stretched out, let them go 20 minutes and throw some strategy into it. It's great. You got me pumped up now. It's been too long since I've seen some NASCAR races, so I'm ready to watch them go.
Oh, you know, yeah, it's definitely going to be an exciting season. But you know what? Getting back to the Supercross end of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, like Sharon mentioned earlier, you know, you brought the NASCAR drivers into the Supercross, you know, fold. You know, you had the, you know, the event and all that. So how does Feld, when you guys get together and talk about, you know, what can we do to make our product even much more better? I mean, it seems like, you know, like you guys are at the mountaintop right now. I mean, you know, you're selling out, you know, big stadiums, you know, the fans. I mean, every NASCAR driver that goes to Irwindale Speedway in Southern California, that all of them go to A1. That is guaranteed. A1 and A2, I mean, it's all full of NASCAR drivers. So what do you guys, I mean, how do you go
right
from here?
That's a great question, and I have a good answer for it. How do we raise the sport of Supercross? We elevate people's awareness of these athletes like Ryan Dungey and Ken Roczen and Jason Anderson and Chad Reed. They are the last gladiators of motorsports. They are the most physically fit, brave, talented athletes in the world, and people don't realize that. I mean, most, I think, of the general public thinks of somebody sitting on a dirt bike and just twisting the throttle and letting the machine work, but it's so 90-10 in our sport. It's 90% athlete, 10% machine, and that's our job and our responsibility personally through what I do with digital marketing with my team, and I think the folks at Feld, I believe that's what our goal is to raise the awareness of the athletes. They're amazing, and we have some great you know, case studies. Look at Ryan Dungey, 2-time SB winner. That really says a lot, I think. You know, and we've done a lot. We've been fortunate to have guys like him and Chad Reed, who have hung along so long in his career, and Ricky Carmichael, who still stays involved in the sport with his motocross schools and his Ricky Carmichael University. And the thing's coming up in Atlanta, MotoFest weekend on February 26th. It's Arena Cross Friday, Supercross Saturday, Amateur Supercross on Sunday, and Ricky Carmichael's motocross school on Monday. But Sal, simply put, to answer your question, how do we raise the sport? We raise the awareness of the athletes because they're truly special.
They are, you know, and I remember the first time I met Ricky Carmichael. I met him at Irwindale Speedway. He drove a late model, and when he got before he got in the car, and I you know, I walked up. This is before I was doing photography. I was doing journalism, and I had to interview him. And I looked at him, I said, and I walked away and I said, gosh, I said, this guy's got some massive battle wounds. I mean, you know, you could see all the stitches he's had. And I thought, and now he's getting in a late model, you know, and he'll probably end up back on another bike, you know, in another year or so. But I mean, the athletes that you have on these motorcycles, I was telling a friend, I said, it's amazing. I said, what these guys could do, the way they toss that bike around in the air and the things they do with it and the abuse they put their body through. I said, and it's not just one race. It's not just a 200 or 100 or even a 40 lap shootout.
Right.
These guys are going at it all day long, you know, practice, qualifying,
yeah,
heats, and then the mains. I said, and these guys, I said, when you go in the pits, I said, they're cut. They're, you know, they're putting ice and massaging. I said, and they're back out there again.
Yeah. Yeah, Ricky's a beast in any sport. he's probably one of the most competitive people I've ever met. I met Ricky Carmichael when I was 12 years old in Lake Whitney, Texas, and we had a head-to-head race, and he crashed, unfortunately, and wasn't able to finish the race. And my mom went over to his motorhome and asked if he was okay, and Miss Jeannie met my mom at the door of their motorhome and said, "We are just fine," and slammed the door in her face. And
oh,
you know, they're just tough Florida people, and Ricky's a great ambassador to any sport. Like you said, you know, the cuts on his face and the battle wounds he has. He's a 2-time X Games gold medal winner. That scar you see on his chin was from a step up competition, and then after his career was over. So a guy like him is never content doing, you know, he has to test himself every day. And he's an amazing person.
Yeah, he is. And with that, I want to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Andy. I know the Supercross schedule has already started. January 7th, you guys were in Anaheim. January 14th, San Diego. And now you're headed back to Anaheim for
yep.
step two here, I guess. So how can fans follow what's going on with Supercross, follow you, and so forth?
Oh, goodness, Supercross Live. Go to Supercross Live social channels and supercrosslive.com. My wonderful team with Sam Gomez and Christy Cannon and Brandon Williams, it's funny. I don't want to pat ourselves too much in the back, but we're very proud of what we've been able to accomplish together in the last 2 years. And I'm super proud of our social channels and our direction. And if you want to follow Supercross, you know, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, supercrosslive.com, and that's where you'll find Race Day Live. We'll lead you up all the way into the event. You want to see the track? Tomorrow's Track Tuesday. We'll have the Kawasaki track map where you can see round three at Anaheim Stadium. And we'll have the Dunlop tire conditions report on Saturday morning with Brock Glover, and Jim Hawley and myself will do a track segment on Friday. You know, it's like I said, it's Monday. I'm barely off the jet from San Diego yesterday, and there's just no time to slow down. I'm super excited for the race to come. And you know, Miss Jenny Taft from Fox Sports 1 is going to open Race Day Live with this Saturday. And I can't wait to have her on. She's an amazing talent and does a great job down on the floor with the racers. And it's going to be fun to talk to her. But, yeah, supercrosslive.com is your outlet to check it out.
Okay, so fans definitely want to check that out. And stay tuned throughout the season because there's
yep.
a lot of racing here to take place between now and May. We hope you enjoyed being on the show with us tonight. We enjoyed having you here, and we'd love to tap you on the shoulder somewhere down the road to chat with us again.
Sarah, Sal, thank you so much. I'm a huge race fan all around, and it's been fun to talk to you. Thank you very, very much for having me on. I hope you guys have a great evening.
Okay,
thank
you,
Andy,
now,
you too.
Andy.
All right, cheers. Talk to you soon, hopefully.
Okay. Looking forward to that next race.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care now. All right. That was Andy Boyer with Supercross Live, and I thought he gave us some great information. I thought it was a great interview, Sal.
Yeah, it was. You know what? Sharon, it was just like being at the track talking with him. You know, we were talking, you know, before, and he was more busy. you know, he was a lot more busy, you know, with doing what he had to do. But, you know, we did get a chance to chat for a little bit. You know, I kind of gave her a little rundown, you know, what, you know, we'd kind of be covering. But the whole group, I mean, it's just, man, sharing it was an awesome experience, you know, to be down there, you know, being part of, you know, the Monster Energy Supercross for A1.
Well, I loved his comment that if you're a fan of racing, you're a fan of all kinds of racing, and that is so true. It's just that there's so much racing going on, it's hard to keep up with all of it. And I was really sincere when I talked about the crossover that they did last year with the NASCAR drivers. I think that's great. We've seen it done, you know, with the K&M Pro Series and ARCA and with NHRA and NASCAR and, you know, when they do those kinds of things, I think it really does bring new fans. And it, like he said, the one thing that really promotes the sport is when you promote the drivers. And when they get that exposure and that kind of visibility, it does bring new people into the sport. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. You know, and you know, like I said, you know, I mean, it's funny because, you know, the NASCAR drivers over here, I mean, A1 is like, it's huge. I mean, everybody, whoever races at Irwindale is at A1. Whoever races at Orange Show is at A1. Whoever races in Kern, they're at A1. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And even there's even two
people
team
show
owners.
Up.
Yeah, there's even two team owners that buy suites over there for A1. I mean, that's how huge it is. And then they're back for A2 again. You know, because they can't get enough, and a lot of them they do all three races because they race the three weekends in a row. They do A1 San Diego, then A2, and a lot of my buddies, you know, they do all three of them.
Well, the drivers of this sport, they are fans of the sport too. They're not just drivers; they're fans of racing, and that you just gave excellent examples of that, and the fact that they participate as fans in other motors. Forms of motorsport, so that's pretty fantastic.
It's exciting, Sharon. You really need to get out. You really need to, when they get out that way, just like I told you about NHRA.
Yeah.
You have to get out to a Supercross race. It is, you know what, the racing, the production end of it, and just the whole thing in a you know, just the whole experience from the time you get there to the time you leave. I mean, you know what? It's hard to sleep at night because you're just thinking of everything that, you know. It is an awesome sport. Oh, it is exciting. These guys are nuts. These guys are crazy.
Oh, I know.
I mean,
I know. I've seen them do all those flips and flops and whatever.
I'm watching. I'm going, heck no.
Twist and
no
turn.
Way. I would ever even. I wouldn't even jump a foot off the ground. And these guys are,
man,
as high as the stadium. And I'm like,
well,
oh my gosh.
The closest to me would probably be Indianapolis in March or St. Louis in April would be probably the best chances for me to get out to one of those events. So we'll have to definitely keep that in mind. I'm still working on the NHRA one, so.
Lee told you anytime you're ready. Actually, Elin had said, but now that Lee's with Josh Horse, you know, Lee'll get you right in.
Yep. We'll have to definitely keep it in mind for this year. Now, we're pretty much wrapping up our kickoff show for the 2017 season here, Sal. It's really great to be back at it and be talking racing. I've really missed that during the off season. You were at the track, it sounds like, to see the Supercross. What are you doing this weekend?
Hopefully I'll be back there Saturday night again.
You're going back for some more.
I sent my request in, and then what I was talking with Sean about is getting one. He said he can get us the race winner on our victory. Yeah, on the little segment we do before the victory lane thing.
Right, our winner circle.
Winner circle. There you go. Yeah, I was talking about the winner circle. And I said, if not, I said, what I'll do is I'll take my voice recorder and I'll set it up. And then this way, you know,
oh,
I record the race winner's interview. And then what I could do is is email you the bit, and then this way, you know,
right.
we can play it. You know, at least
oh,
we can play
good.
It you know, if we can't get them on. Yeah.
Yeah,
these guys
yeah,
are exciting.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So that was my, you know, that was my next thing that I was going to, once we got off, you know, I was going to tell you, I'll take the voice recorder and I'll record the post race.
Yeah, if they can't be on the show, yeah. We always enjoy having them on live, but the next best thing is to have that recording of their thoughts right after the race. So that's awesome. And like I said, we'll be back next Monday night. We're doing our pre-race shows right now. I mean, our pre-season shows right now. And we'll really be gearing up when it comes into the February before the season begins. But in the meantime, we still have a winner's circle to look forward to next Monday night. And we're working on our guest as we speak for next Monday night show. 8:30 p.m. Eastern time is when we get started. So, Sal, thanks. I thought it was a great show. Really appreciate your support tonight, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next Monday night.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Take care now.
Guess we'll talk to everybody next week. All right. Good night.
Good night, Sal.